Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world, but also to welcome the four exciting, dynamic, and diverse personalities who this week are going to play Just a Minute. We welcome back three who played it with great skill in the past, that is Paul Merton, Graham Norton, and Clement Freud, and someone who's never played the game before, that is Ross Noble. Would you please welcome all four of them? I am going to ask them to speak, if they can, on a subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, who's going to help me keep the score, and she will blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Presence, the Festival Fringe. And we have before us an excited, rather overexcited, I think, Festival Fringe audience who are now going to enjoy themselves as we start the show with Paul Merton. And subject for the starting of this show is very apt. It is The Fringe. So, Paul, will you speak on The Fringe in just a minute, starting now?
The Fringe, The Fringe, The Fringe. What a wonderful place to be here in Edinburgh at this time of year, when everybody from all over the world, people who have no talent, people who are... two people.
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of people.
Yeah, there were too many people, I must say. There are too many people sometimes at the Fringe, but it doesn't matter. It's exciting, and that's what it's about. There are 48 seconds still available. Clement Freud gets a point for a correct challenge. He takes over the subject, The Fringe, starting now.
It would be trichinologically demanding for me to grow a fringe in view of the amount of hair which I have not got. There is a peripheral production of Oklahoma in the Edinburgh Fringe, in which there's an excellent description of a Cayley as a soiree with a binge on top.
Paul Merton, you've challenged.
Hesitation.
Indeed, there was hesitation. He made his joke, got his laugh, and said, that's enough for me.
Going home now.
Are you off now, then, Clement? Nice of you to come down from London.
Paul, a correct challenge. Ross, you've challenged.
Yeah, surely you came up from London.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Yeah, but you can't have that sort of deviation here.
Oh, okay.
But it was nice to hear from you,
sorry,
Ross.
I just want to buzz in again and say I'm very excited to be here.
I know, but... I mean, that is a first for you. First time you've spoken on Just a Minute.
Yeah, so it is, yeah. It's wonderful. It's a shame it wasn't. We weren't actually playing the game.
Doesn't matter, as long as they hear from you.
Okay.
As long as you're getting the response, that's what it's all about. Right, Paul, you had a correct challenge. And you get a point for that, of course. And you have 22 seconds available for The Fringe, starting now.
When I first came to the Edinburgh Fringe, it was 1980...
Graham Norton challenge.
Repetition of Edinburgh.
Yes, he mentioned Edinburgh before. Yes, you did. And you can't mention it...
I feel a fool. See, that is you, isn't it, Clement?
Yes, well, listen, Graham. So you got the subject of the
Fringe.
Very
harsh, I thought. Very
no,
early,
it was.
Very
I feel petty.
I know.
Then let it spoil the show for you.
Graham, it is still a correct challenge and a point to you, and 19 seconds available. The Fringe, starting now.
In America, the fringe is referred to as bangs. This is because in that country, everything is bigger, as we know. And thus, people with a fringe constantly walk into things. There are restaurants with fringe and no fringe sections. Because...
Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. And on this occasion it was Graham Norton. And at the end of the round, you won't be surprised to hear that Graham Norton's in the lead. He's two ahead of Paul Merton and Clement Freud and Ross Noble.
No, Nicholas, I think they are really surprised to hear that.
Graham, will you
yes.
take the next round?
All right.
The subject is first impressions. Give us something about first impressions in just a minute, starting now.
The first impression dates back to Stone Age times, when someone moulded a sort of beret thing out of scraps of mammoth fur, put it on his head, turned to his waiting family, and said, "Oh, Betty." Sadly,
It didn't go that well, as it would be many centuries before Frank Spencer actually made it into the popular psyche. I think that's how you say it. I'm sure someone will tell me if it isn't. First...
Paul Merton challenge.
It is.
Thanks.
It is how you say it.
Have you a challenge within the rules of
discipline? No, because Graham wasn't sure.
No, wasn't sure, right.
Now, we have listeners all over the world who learn English, as we know, from this programme.
I know, and I mention that regularly, and... Yeah.
You get letters, don't you, Nick?
I get letters, yes. I talk about the letters, so as to give you...
But despite that, you're still here.
Yes. All right, the audience enjoyed your interruption. You get a bonus point for that. Graham was interrupted, so he gets a point for being interrupted, and he keeps the subject, and he has 26 seconds to continue with first impressions starting now.
The first impressions I ever made were two dents at the bottom of our stairs where I tripped while carrying a coffee mug. I was only 4. My mother shouldn't have let me. It was dangerous. And sure enough, I did fall, crushing through a sort of chalkboard. You know the sort of thing? Not a sturdy wall.
Yes, Ross, you press your buzzer.
Yeah, did he say fall twice?
He did say Paul
yes.
twice.
Yes. Oh.
Well, listen, you...
Yes, I'm glad I was listening to that one. Yeah, I was on the case there.
Sharp.
Yeah.
Right, well,
I wasn't sure whether it was two falls or whether or not we just had to remind people that fall is the right way to say fall in case they were listening in Peru.
No, they will. I mean, they'll all come back talking with Geordie accents if they listen to you long enough. But,
okay.
Anyway.
I'm actually from Northumberland. I'd just like to point that out. I'm slightly posh.
Is there a difference between a Northumberland accent and the Tyne and Wear accent?
Very much so. People in Northumberland tend to... So they sound like they're drunk at all
right.
times.
Are they drunk all the time?
Yeah, pretty much.
I thought there's a... I thought there's people in Newcastle who were drunk all the time.
That's how I got on this show.
I know. Yeah. Well, now try and talk about first impressions, because you have a point for a correct challenge. You have 11 seconds starting now.
What if...
And someone's challenged you already.
Da!
Yes.
Hesitation.
You rotten!
I can't...
No, just a minute. Don't start a riot, please.
I cannot believe, having just said that people from Northumberland roll their R's, I was just going, into the words... And that wasn't linguistically taken into account.
I think he was actually professionally being rather generous so that you get another point, which you've got, because you hadn't hardly gone for a second. 10 seconds, first impression, still with you, Ross, starting now.
What example of making a bad impression is turning up to a present...
Kermit Freud, you challenge his take, yes.
Hesitation.
That's what we call that hesitation.
No.
That's a Northumberland accent.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Clement, you have a correct challenge. You have 5 seconds. First impression starting now.
My fit.
Hang on, he definitely hesitated there. Definitely.
Hoisted on your own petard. Right, he was interrupted. Clement, you have another point because you're interrupted, and you have 5.5 seconds. First impression starting now.
My first impression was of a chicken going into a farmyard backwards.
So
may I just continue?
Can you finish the sentence then?
Do doodle cocker.
It's what I call lingering applause. I don't know whether they should be clapping or not, but got the point for speaking as the whistle went, and at the end of the round you've now taken the lead, equal with Graham Norton, and followed by the other two equal in second place. And Ross and Noble, your turn to begin. The subject, moles. Can you tell us something about moles in this game, starting now?
Moles would have to be the finest of all the country animals digging away beneath the ground. Not many people realise this, but moles are in fact the natural enemy of wombles. As they move around beneath the surface...
Great, it's a difficult game, isn't it? Right,
so I'm just stopping the word surface.
Yes.
It's
yeah.
just going on
so,
a long
yeah.
time.
We interpret that as hesitation. Graham, you got the subject of moles, and there are 46 seconds available starting now.
The difference between moles and freckles is that moles are enigmatic, sophisticated, strangely beautiful in a sort of exotic way, whereas the other skin thing Wait. Are just a bit common and have a whiff of ginger about them. I can't approve.
moles are dusky. I have to say, I'm covered in the things. And I went to the doctor to say, are my moles evil? And he couldn't answer me.
Paul Merton Challenge.
Hesitation, sadly.
He said a definite there. Yes. And so Moles is over to you, Paul. And you've got him with 15 seconds to go, starting now.
Well, moles, of course, are very dependable.
Clement Freud challenged.
Hesitation?
I think there was a hesitation.
Do you?
I do indeed, Paul. Once you didn't get going with your usual flourish, you just...
I'm getting older.
It's one of those difficult interpretations, but the benefit of the doubt goes to Clement Freud, so he has moles and 11 seconds starting now.
When I left Dubrovnik, they said, disappear, go to England, spend 35 years doing just a minute. And then when we have need of someone, we will call you.
Speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now one ahead of Graham Norton in second place, and then Paul Merton and Ross Noble in that order. And Clement, your turn to begin. And the subject is a good rule of thumb. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
A good rule of thumb when you go to a restaurant to which you haven't frequently gone is to call the head waiter and say, everything is disgusting, you should be ashamed of yourself, sack the chef, and go away and put talcum powder under your arms.
That's the ravings of a lunatic. That's not... Do we want people from Peru coming over here complaining to head for sticking talcum powder under their arms?
Not at all, no. 42 seconds available for you, Paul, on a good rule of thumb, starting now.
King Thumb, of course, was a very popular monarch sometime in the late 17th century in Norway, and people used to love his reign because he would be very nice and kind and would say, today is going to be sunshine, followed by scattered showers. In many ways, he was the first weatherman. And people would swarm and listen to his wise words. He would stand at the top of his castle, survey his kingdom in front of him and say, I speak to you now as your ruler. I am the almighty...
Ross Challenge.
Did he say I twice?
Yes, I, and he emphasised the I.
Oh, well...
A minute ago you were rooting for him, and now you're rooting for Paul. Can't be as fickle as that.
I'll take...
It was. He emphasised the I, and therefore...
Well, he was the king, wasn't he? Yes, I know.
But you should have said we.
Within the... Yes, you should have used the royal... Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you the truth, I made it up anyway. There's no King Thumb in Norway in the 17th century. You look it up, you won't find him.
Must within the rules of just a minute.
But I repeated a vowel sound, and that's good enough for me.
You repeated I, the first person singular, and Ross got in first. 13 seconds for you, Ross. A good rule of thumb starting now.
A good rule of thumb is if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Which
Paul Merton Challenge.
Two don'ts, which is a longer word than I.
Rub it in, you rotten thing.
Worn out. Yeah.
Anyway, you've got the subject back. You've got 9 seconds, Paul. A good rule of thumb starting now.
My thumb measures, I would say, about 2.5 inches. And if I was looking to find that particular measurement on a piece of paper, I wanted it exactly...
Right, so Paul Merton, speaking as the whistle went then, gained that extra point. He's now one behind our leader, who is still Clement Freud. Oh, he's equal with Graham Norton in second place. Graham, it's your turn to begin. The subject is, what I keep in my sporran. That's a nice subject for someone as outrageous as you, Graham. Tell us something about it in this game, starting now.
What I keep in my sporran is not the same as it used to be. Following an unfortunate incident involving yogurt some years ago, I've learned not to keep perishables in my sporran. Look as you might, you won't find cheese or even a cold sliced bit of meat. No, now it's all stationery, tissues, a selection of pencils. Go on, take one. I really don't mind. My sporran is made out of my dead dog, Trixie. Because I thought it was nice to keep the weekend terrier with me for the rest of my life.
And of course, now I don't have to feed her. And oh, thank God for that.
The sad thing about this game is that someone can go hilariously as that for 52 seconds and get nothing for it. It is old, but it's worse than that, actually. So even but whoever challenges correctly, and it was Clement Freud, what was the challenge? I think it's a check, right?
He repeated, of course.
He repeated, of course, that's right. And so you have 8 seconds to tell us something about what I keep in my spot, and Clement, starting now.
Underpants, Mars bars, Milky Ways, and occasional pieces of Gorgonzola or Dolce Latte cheese.
So, Graham, who did all the hard work and entertained the audience, has got no points at all. Clement Freud coming in with 8 seconds to go and getting one for speaking was a whistle. Wen got two more, and he's now equal with Graham Norton in the lead. Paul Merton, it's your turn to begin. The subject is turning the corner. Can you speak on turning the corner in 60 seconds if you want to, starting now?
Yes, I would like to address these words to the inhabitants of China. The general Chinese must know they believe they are turning the corner. It's been a long time since the Great March. Long time since the Long March, I was going to say.
Yes, I know, it's so difficult, isn't it? Ross, you came in first, hesitation, obviously. 51 seconds, turning the corner with you, starting now.
Turning the corner is an important skill to have if you're a nurse. When you're making up the beds, you have to make sure that you can turn the corner over the edge. Unfortunately, in hospitals, they tend to use sheets instead of the duvet-type device, which is placed over with the elasticated edge. It's interesting to see nurses using the elasticated... Oh, I've said it twice.
It's a frustrating game, but they loved it, Ross. But Paul, you got in first on the elasticated. 32 seconds, turning the corner with you, starting now.
Charlie Chaplin used to turn a corner in his films by skidding around on one foot and sticking the other one out at a very strange angle. And this was considered a very funny, very, very.
And Ross was first in again.
I can't emphasise that enough.
So, yes, he's emphasised the fact. He did repeat very. Ross was the first to buzz, and he's got the subject with 22 seconds. Turning the corner, Ross, starting now.
Turning the corner is an important skill to have also.
Graham Norton, challenge.
Oh, important and skill.
You mentioned important before. And the nurse had
yes.
Skill.
Yes. Yes.
You listen very carefully to what they said the first time and come back. What do you mean? Oh, sorry. He's entitled. This is the rule. This is just a minute. It's a correct challenge. So,
I know, but I'm playing it like it's war games or something.
This lot started.
I know. Yeah, no. In fairness, they did. Yeah.
But you were the one that challenged me on I.
Yeah, him, not me. Yeah.
No, not you.
Yeah.
You've been sweet.
No, I'll let that go. Oh yeah. Well, I'm quite relaxed for the whole thing, really.
They do.
If we can't get on up here, what example is that for the world that listens to us?
Yeah.
Well, I do have to say to Ross, who's first time with us, that, you know, the audience can get like this. It's when they start walking towards you that you need to really stop.
Usually happens round about now, doesn't it?
Graham, you have 20 yes. seconds. Turning the corner, starting now.
As a non-driver, I adore turning the corner. Oh, what fun it is to put a pen or perhaps some loose change on the dashboard each time you're turning the corner and wait for the driver to become so irate.
Oh, Clement Freud challenge.
Repetitive driver.
Yes, you had the driver more than once.
No, no, non-driver.
Yes,
A bit of a hyphen.
Non-driver is hyphenated. Hyphenated words are accepted as not a repetition. So, Graham, you have an incorrect...
This is great news now. Hyphens for days.
Okay. So, it's the turning of the corner as a subject. Right. You have an incorrect challenge, you have another point, and you have 6 seconds starting now.
Turning the corner isn't all it's cracked up to be. If people had been busy turning the corner, we would have never...
Graham Norton was then speaking as a whistle went with other points in that round. He has now surged ahead and he has taken the lead for those interested
in
the
points.
Yes, sir. You are 2 points ahead, but the other three are all equal in second place, only 2 points behind. And Graham, it's your turn to begin. The subject is rambling. Are you a rambler? Talk on the subject starting now.
Rambling is a popular pastime. Using...
Paul,
Sudden stop.
A sudden stop?
Sadly.
We call hesitation. A point to you, Paul. 56 seconds. Rambling, starting now.
Rambling is a popular pastime using your feet as you walk along the various paths are laid out by various...
Graham Norton challenge.
Yes, I did.
Yes, you did.
It was various, you said.
That's
twice.
Right,
yes,
various. What? You repeated yes. Various, right. 49 seconds, ramblings, back with you, Graham, starting now.
Rambling is made up of people, men and women, usually, and they wear matching jumpers. That's the law. Consider, then, the difficulty of the rambling rose. How would such a thorny bush get inside knitwear? It would be very difficult. The upside is that when the farmer shouts, "Get off my land," the little flowery thing...
Ross challenge.
Oh, there was a bit of a hesitation, but I feel quite bad about that.
No, don't. Really, don't.
Nobody feels bad in this show, Ross. If they can get in and get the points and get the subject, which is what you've achieved, you go on rambling with 24 seconds starting now.
Ramblers take their rights of way very seriously, and it's often fun to try and put obstacles in the way just to see them stick to the path that they've chosen. For example, a large paddling pool that a child might play in the summertime, filled up with soapy water, watching them slide around as packed lunches fly all over the place. Often a bearded man will slip and bang his head against the...
Well, you've got the audience 100% with you, Ross, and you have leapt forward at the end of that round. You're still one behind Graham Norton. And you are three behind Clement Freud, who is two behind our leader, Paul Merton. And that is the situation as we go into the final round.
Would it be fair to say that Ross is last, then?
No, four.
Yeah.
Sorry, yes.
Don't pull any punches, you know.
No, I never put it that way because nobody is last in this show. Because the
Ross, Ross is.
Yeah. You're so close to standing up and just pointing at me going, "Loser!"
No, it's the contribution which is important, not the points. And Ross, from the audience reaction, they know your contribution is valued.
I'm still not winning, though, am I?
Well, it's the first time you've been on the show. You've done jolly well to keep up with the others the way you have. And you take the last round. It's belly laughs. Well, you take it, but you start it anyway. No, I didn't mean that unkindly.
Don't bother being nice. He's losing, Nicholas.
The subject is belly laughs. Ross, it's your turn to begin, and you start now.
Belly laughs describe the type of laugh that comes deep within the stomach and rises up. This is why I always make a point of never performing in front of fat people. The trouble with that is that it takes so long for it to make its way through their large guts that you can be on stage for over 2.5 hours before a simple titter has left the mouth. Sometimes those mouths are actually filled with crisps.
Clement Freud challenge.
Sorry. Right. I thought he said mouth twice. He said mouth and mouths.
He said mouth and mouths, yes. So
sorry.
Actually, you get a point for that.
Yes, I intended to do that.
So you could win yet, you know. You're
no
moving
way.
Forward, yes. You've got another point there. You're now equal with Graham Norton. You've got another 37 seconds. Get challenged a few more times. Belly laughs. Starting now.
Another good way to get belly laughs is to go down to a plastic surgeon's.
Graham Norton challenge.
Well, sort of deviation, because we haven't heard a good way to get them yet.
Why, it's not sort of... It doesn't matter if it's a good way or a bad way to get them. No, it doesn't matter. It's not deviation, no.
But it's not another. It's the only way we've heard so far.
It doesn't matter. By the way, listeners, that was Ross putting his buzzer right into Graham Norton's face.
Sorry, I've turned now. I just want to win.
And you've got an extra point now, so I think
it's... God.
Because, again, I'm explaining to the listeners, I have two on my left and two on my right. Graham Norton and Ross.
You should see a doctor.
You're wasted on radio, really, aren't you?
Right. Another point to you, Ross. You still have the subject. 34 seconds. Belly laughs starting now.
If you go down to a liposuction clinic and remove all of the fat that they've thrown into the bins, you can push that into a space hopper. And it really is a humorous way of spending an afternoon. People will go, "Look at the belly laughs they're having as you bounce around on top of someone's lardy innards." Little kids enjoying themselves as the race continues down the street in the international hopping challenge that is in this thing next.
So, Paul Martin, you challenged.
It was a hesitation, didn't it?
Was that? I was going so the audience were laughing so much I couldn't hear any hesitation, actually.
Remember the audience mob rule.
I don't think he can win anyway, actually, but I know you'd like him to win. I know.
But you not mentioned... even for cash, Nicholas.
Paul's out in the lead. You would like Ross to finish the show, wouldn't you? Because there's only 8 seconds to go. I thought so, right. So,
eight
Ross,
seconds.
The audience want you to finish the show. There's 8 seconds available.
Oh, God.
Carry on, belly laugh.
Oh, please, no.
Starting now.
The biggest belly laugh I ever received was when I took part in a school sports day. I climbed up to the top of a diving board and leapt
and,
off.
And Paul Burton challenge.
Two eyes.
Oh, right back to the beginning of the show, yes. Tit for tat, he didn't forget it. He was waiting to get back.
An Ross, eye for an eye.
Ross. He never spoke a truer word. He got you on the eyes the first round, and you got him in the very last round with 1 second to go. Right. You have 1 second, Paul, on Belly Laughs, starting now.
Broken Hail, a very funny face.
So... I said that was to be the last round, and indeed it is the last round, and I'll give you just the final score for those interested in the points. Well, on this occasion, Graham Norton was only just in fourth place. But fourth place is really, I mean, that's almost like winning on the show, but not quite.
It's closer to being last.
It's closer to And 1 point ahead of him, because he did so well with that last flourish of his, was Ross Noble. And 1 point ahead of him, so he shows you how close it was.
Can I just say, I gave you that point.
Yes. And a few points ahead was Paul Merton. So we say, this week, Paul Merton, you are our winner. It only remains for me to say... thank you to our four exciting players of the game, which is Paul Merton, Graham Norton, Ross Noble and Clement Freud. I thank Janet Staplehurst for helping me keep the score, blowing her whistle on the 60 seconds. We thank our producer, Claire Jones, for her tolerance and understanding and forbearance, and also the man who originally created the game, that was Ian Messiter. And we're indebted to this lovely, excitable audience here at the Pleasance in Edinburgh. And from me and from all of us here, Nicholas Parsons, until we meet again, goodbye!